Starting, yes.
Excuse me, this is the operator. At this time, I would just like to inform all parties that today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect. Thank you. You may begin.
Okay, thanks. Oh, that's a new one.
Come close, Abby. We can't hear you.
I'm talking loudly, and I'm talking as loudly as I can, so we'll have to do. On the agenda, we have confirmation of agenda. We have updated statements of interest. We have a report from Rapporteur Group A, a report from Rapporteur Group B, confirmation of the timeline, so we'll go through that. And let me see what else. We had, and then discussion of what reporting I will do to the council for tomorrow, and then any other business.
Audrey, it's Marilyn. Could I make a proposed addition?
Not yet.
Sorry.
I was also going to ask for a roll call and then get into talking about whether anything needs to be added to the agenda.
Okay.
So could Glenn, could you do the roll call, please?
Agnes Rocco, Sophia Bachelet.
Present.
Marilyn Tate.
Here.
Danny Younger.
Here.
Avery Doria.
Jeff.
Jeff Eckhart.
Here.
Alistair Dixon.
Here.
Terry Karp.
Here.
Liz Williams and
yep.
Glenn from the staff. And have I missed anybody?
Glenn, this is Steve Metallitz. Uta Decker asked me to sit in for her. She can't be here.
Thank you very much, Steve.
Mrs. Greg Ruth.
Hi, Greg.
Hi.
So we have got Steve Metallis from the ITC and Greg Ruth from the ISP. That gives us a full constituency count.
Glenn, I'm here also. This is Milton.
Sorry, Milton, I left you out.
Okay, so the issues on the agenda. And Marilyn, is that what you wanted to speak to?
Yes. I think before we talk about the confirmation of the timeline, we probably need to talk about an update from Liz on the remaining documents and materials that have been committed to support the work of both the task force and the tour groups, because it may affect the timeline.
I think that's a good thing to do after the rapporteur groups, but before the timeline. Unless it comes out in the discussions on the rapporteur group report. So it seems like that could go before the timeline, but after the rapporteur group. Any objections doing it that way? Okay. So I'll stick that in there. As I say, I expect that will come out in the rapporteur group, because the rapporteur group would probably say something like, and we need the following in order to be able to complete, and then we would get an update from Liz on where that was.
Anyone know where John is? He's going to be...
John will be late.
Late, 45 minutes or so late, so Abby, that's going to have an impact on your report for TOR2.
Why?
For, Rabbitoh Group B.
Alistair is reporting for that one.
Great, thank you.
So to the extent Alistair is able, because I unfortunately didn't take notes at the sessions that I wasn't...
you can safely make it up.
No, take it for. I will have to try. I'll do my best.
Oh, I thought that had been arranged. After
it had been arranged, but I'm afraid I didn't get John's notes, unfortunately. I will do my best.
Okay, thank you. Any other issues on the agenda? Okay, then the next thing was updated statements of interest. Does anybody have an update statement of interest that they wish to make? Okay, I guess not. Okay, next was Group A Rapporteur, and Marilyn, are you going to do that?
Yes, please.
Okay, please, go ahead.
Okay. So Rapporteur Group A has met. There are transcripts of two of the calls already available, and a third transcript of the call that just took place will be available shortly, in a couple of days. Glenn is posting the transcripts to the list. We are not cleaning them up because they are quite satisfactory as background materials as they are, and we didn't feel, when talking to Glenn, she and I did not feel it was a good use of additional resources just to do spell check. But they are there as documents that are useful to keep people apprised if they have missed one of the rapporteur group meetings. The rapporteur prepared a working document, which is merely, as it's evolved, the terms of reference with, this is a non-official document, it's a working document, so it has the terms of reference, it takes the original document that Liz provided, and underneath each of the terms of reference there's a set of straw recommendations. We've done straw recommendations for 1A, 1B. We have straw recommendations for 2B with the, for 2A with the note that we do need also include a discussion of the staff's document comparing the picket fence to existing registry agreements. We have draft straw recommendations for 2B. On 5A and 5B, we were gathering some additional information, including some examples from the registry group, and we have confirmed that we'll be using the definition of registry data that is in the existing contract. And the rapporteur is going to draft options under that. And the plan is that after taking into account some additional information that we can talk about in a bit here, the rapporteur will be posting probably by Thursday close of business to the rapporteur group a revised document with suggested recommendations in it. On Tuesday of next week at 11 o'clock, we will meet as a rapporteur group to discuss the options and do a show of support straw poll for the options that are presented. And then, as I said, there's some missing data that reports that we do still need to take into account. And let me ask for comments from Danny or Greg, and then from David and Liz as well, if they want to add anything.
Anyone have any comments? Questions? Okay, I have one question. So, and I just want to clarify. One of them is you indicated that the picket fence document is basically a piece of gating information that you need before you can complete the work on 2A. I wasn't clear on whether you were actually waiting for a document or something on the registered data in current contract, or you've got everything you need on that.
The request had been made earlier that the registries provide samples. We agreed on the call a couple of days ago. Avery, you may remember that we are using the definition of registry data that is in the existing contracts. But the examples, I think, was what Liz had gone out to the registry constituency to have a further dialogue about.
Right, but I'm wondering, are you in there, because you had said you were using the information from the current contract, what I'm trying to clear up is there something you're waiting for that you're gated on?
I'm not going to wait forever for other flows of information, but I was trying to give everyone the courtesy of letting them respond. So I don't know exactly that the answer is we're going to wait. We've asked for it a couple of times, and Liz was going to talk to the people to do some, was going to do some follow-up, but at some point, if it's not provided, we will need to go ahead and let you deal with it at the task force level.
Okay. Does that also go for the information, the picket fence? So it's not gating, but you want it, or is that actually gating?
Well, I don't think that this is a fair discussion to have with just me, since the picket fence...
Well, no, I think it's important to figure it out for each of the tour groups. And then, if your answer is you don't know, or, you know, it depends on somebody else's answer, that's a fine answer, but... I'm just trying to understand what data is gating the work of the rapporteur group versus what work is desired, is invited,
sure,
and will not gate the work.
Sure. So let me remind everyone of the discussion at the council level, which actually relates to this particular document that led to the staff being tasked to provide the document. We are relying on the document as an additional, very useful document that we want to take into account. In particular, although the document should apply to and be considered on all the terms of reference, this particular term of reference examines whether consensus policy limitations are appropriate and how these limitations should be determined. That document should be a source document on this discussion in particular in relation to how these limitations should be determined.
I understand that. So it's something that ought to be there but doesn't absolutely need to be there. In other words, yes, we want it. Yes, it's been requested by the council, but we can't...
Aubrey, I would basically say that if staff doesn't deliver this particular resource document, that it is a significant gap. But Milton and others who are lawyers may want to comment on that.
Yeah, I'm just basically trying to determine what is a gating factor, what's an absolute requirement, and what's important for getting the work done. And I guess I still don't quite understand. But anyone else want to comment? Oh, no other questions? Okay. And then I'm basically going to ask Liz to comment on all of the outstanding materials after we've gone through both of the rapporteur groups. But Liz, did you have anything else that you wanted to comment on in relation to Group A?
No, I'll do it at the end. I'll do it once.
Okay. So, if there are no questions for rapporteur Group B.
Okay, thanks, Avery. So we have, Rapporteur Group B has had two meetings, and I think we're making good progress. Essentially, we have worked through terms of reference 4 and terms of reference 6, but we still have some, and we have started work on terms of reference 3, but we still have some outstanding work, some issues that we will need to work through on terms of reference 3, that's the price controls 1, which we anticipated would actually require some additional work. I think at this point, I mean, there are obviously the picket fence issues, but at this point, I would say that we're not at a stage where we will require, were there any particular showstoppers. I think it's just a case of getting, basically devoting sufficient time to working through some quite complex policy issues. We are, I think, intending to meet again. I get very confused at the times, but we are meeting again, is it later this week or certainly early next week?
I believe you have one tomorrow.
Tomorrow, right, thank you. So that's basically, I think that's sort of a broad overview. I think I have to say that I think we have been making pretty good progress. I think the terms of reference 3, as I said, price controls, that will require a bit more work than the other two terms of reference items.
Okay. Are you producing also a working document, basically including...
Yes, we are. John will be... John is drafting a working document for the terms of reference 4 and 6, and I will be drafting the one for terms of reference 3.
And hopefully that could be similar in construction to Maryland with recommendations that and then education support. Will that group also be doing the straw poll type of activity?
That would be the intention. We will follow we'll try and make it as consistent with Maryland's as possible. I think Maryland's provided a good template for that document.
Thanks. Anybody else have any questions or comments on 4? I mean on Rapporteur Group B on agenda item 4, but Rapporteur Group B report. In which case, I would move to Liz to comment on supporting material and especially on the report that was indeed requested by the GNFO Council on picket fences and its relation to consensus policy, which I believe was on the schedule for a while back now. And while not strictly speaking a gating factor for Rapporteur Group A, is certainly an important ingredient for Rapporteur A, and I guess there's any of the other materials that are still pending.
Thanks, Alfie. Just a couple of things for everybody. Dan wanted to tender his specific apologies for the meeting today. He is caught up on the board call preparations, which is going to take place later in the day today, and as everybody knows, because I've sent them the expert materials, you have seen the responses to the registry correspondence, which is a function of the public comment periods that have been run about the BIS, Info, Org, and Asia agreements. I wanted to draw your particular attention to the second page of the updated expert materials, which includes the table for the treatment of the issues that relate to the terms of reference as they stand. And much of that material was available for at the issues report stage. I think everybody is very well aware of the, and if you turn to the updated expert materials, and Mara and I...
What document are you referring to?
Yeah, Liz, would you slow down just a minute? I'm having trouble following.
Sorry, the updated expert materials. I'm speaking quite quietly because it's time at our house.
Because I was not able to find the updated one. When I went to the website you offered, I found the old one still, the one dated 25th September, and did not find the new one.
Right, me too, I guess.
I beg your pardon, then I apologize. Glenn, can you just let me know when that was going to be up?
Sorry, yes, it should be up a little bit later on in the evening because I've just been looking and I haven't had, I've had a reply that it has been received, but it hasn't been put up yet.
Okay, guys, that's a function of the things that we have to go through to make sure we have things properly posted to the ICANN website. When
you can't actually post them yourself.
Oh, no, absolutely not. Nobody, very, very few people have posting rights to the website.
I realize. Okay, so you send a message saying it's posted. What you mean is you've submitted it to the poster, but it'll show up at some time.
That's right, yes, because everything that is submitted to be posted has to have an approval first, and then it has to go through a system for the webmasters.
And this is
and
a fairly straightforward
process. It has definitely been approved, and it has definitely been sent to the webmasters. So I would say it is now, within a short time, it will be published.
And, of course, Avery, those of us who live in Europe are far ahead of our colleagues in Los Angeles because we've been awake for hours longer.
So this is where the absence of using the distribution device, which includes all of us, instant access to something becomes significant.
It does, indeed. And all I can only say that I just draw your attention to it and follow the URL, and hopefully it will be up later this evening. Most particularly, I wanted to draw your attention to the section that deals with term of reference 2 and registry agreements and consensus policy. I have significantly updated the expert materials, and Marilyn, I now understand your questions because you were looking at the earlier version rather than the later version, so I can deal with that later. But there's two things I want the group to look at. Number one is Table 3, which is from the issues report, which shows you the standing of the existing registry agreements with respect to the terms of reference, and then the consensus policy development process and applicability of registry agreements based on the picket fence, and then based on the issues categories that those relate to, because not everybody has seen it. And I apologize, but it's very difficult to send through large documents by email because it crashes the email server. I'm happy to take questions offline then on that case, because those documents have been supplied from my side. I would anticipate that the more detailed analysis that Dan will provide, in addition to the draft he's already provided, will be available as soon as we can. But I have to say... No, I cannot give an exact date. And I'll reiterate again that we're dealing with multiple different kinds of registry agreements with multiple picket fences, with multiple issue areas that it relates to. So Dan and I are working closely on that. But as I say, he has been drawn away by preparations for the board meeting tonight. And as everybody would be aware, because I sent a message to the group earlier in the week, the board agenda for this evening includes discussion, but no guarantee of a decision about the Biz Info Org and Asia agreements.
Nor a guarantee of postponement of decision.
Sorry, Avery, just say that again. Nor a what?
You said it included, the board included no guarantee of a decision.
The only thing that is listed is a discussion of the agreements, not anything else other than that.
So another last spoke to Dan, he still wasn't able to give a date for when we might expect this.
No, and we spoke to each other this evening about 5:30, so he was frantically in preparation for the board meeting today, so I was not able to impose on him any further to produce a quite detailed document for this group whilst he was preparing for the board meeting.
Okay, except that it's now too late. Okay.
Yep, so as Alistair says, it's for his group, for Rapporteur Group B, it's not a showstopper, a series of exercises, and for Rapporteur Group A, it's useful information to have, and it's very valuable to have, but it's not a showstopper to the work being completed in terms of developing the straw recommendations.
Oh, it sounds like it perhaps isn't a showstopper, but it does sound like it's essential for having a fully considered section.
Yeah.
Basically, the point I want to bring up is that it was requested and it was freely given on when it would be ready, so it's not unreasonable that I think people sort of expect it.
Yeah, exactly. That's fine. But I can't give you an exact minute that it would be available.
Any comments or questions?
Liz? I have a question about some other expert materials. And Liz, I just need to open my folder here. I'm looking at Alistair in the last task force call. Alistair asked about references in relation to price controls, when price controls are appropriate versus when one should rely on the market.
Yep. All of that's included in the updated version, and if you look at page 12 of the updated version, which is clear now from Glenn's explanation that it has not been posted, so I was premature in sending it to the list, it's on page 12, section 8,
okay,
which relates to price controls, and there's a number of other things, which there's an OECD report on structural separation, there's a whole bunch of stuff that Alistair sent me on his bits and pieces. There's a thing on the privacy code in New Zealand with respect to the registry data section, and that is all included in the updated document.
And just the rest of my question, and does that have the spectrum allocation materials too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anything that Alistair sent me is included.
Okay. I had one other question, Aubrey, if I might.
Yes, go ahead.
On registry data, the only thing the staff has provided has been references to privacy. And I know we kind of had this discussion once before, but registry data is not only who is data, nor is it always personally identifiable data. But I just want to verify, other than what we have so far, you're not planning on giving us anything else specific to broadly traffic data, engineering information about the use of traffic data, the use of the reliance of third parties on traffic data, right? We should just assume we have whatever materials that the staff is going to provide. Is that
yes,
right?
Exactly right, and that's in the updated version. But frankly, I cannot produce materials that I don't have access to, which are the purview of registry operators. And a number of requests have gone to the registry constituency to ask that, for that information, and you and I covered that in our call.
In other words, this isn't a question about the examples from the registry, sorry. There is data, and I'll see if I can find it. There is data in Tier 1 and ISP land that talks about the relationship of traffic data, but I'll see if I can find something in some of the work that I'm engaged in right now, because right now all the materials we have just are limited to
only registry data, not traffic data. More broadly, for example, for ISPs, and perhaps the ISP constituency can offer us more information too, because if it's about internet tiering and traffic exchange data, it's an entirely different kettle of fish than registry data just per se.
So I should be clear. No, what I'm talking about is the reliance on registry traffic data by other third parties.
Yep, exactly.
But that I don't take it, that's not peering or transit, that's not in relation to the interconnection of it.
And frankly, that is not data that I have access to, so if you can add that to that section, that would be fantastic.
I'll see what I can find.
Yeah, thanks. I'm happy, if you just want to point me in the right direction on this particular element of the terms of reference, I'm happy to follow that up with you.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Aubrey.
Thanks, Aubrey.
One of the things that was still pending after we got that sort of internal expert report on picket fences, we were going to try and schedule a discussion with Dan on that material. Now, I'm assuming that in principle, he's willing to do that once he's delivered the document. Is that a correct assumption?
Avery, you and I had that conversation this morning. I broached that with Dan this afternoon. And I specifically asked him about the two dates that you proposed. The 20th is absolutely not possible for either of us, for my part, because it's Friday late evening for me, and I have just asked Dan to come back to me overnight, which is scheduled for the week of the 23rd. So as soon as I hear back from him, I'll be able to provide the group with a better date on that.
Yeah, we especially had talked about the...
The 23rd.
The 23rd itself. So
yes, exactly. And I broached both of those dates with him. The 20th of Friday was not possible for me,
right, yeah,
and for him. And the 23rd, I'm just waiting for him to come back to me with his schedule.
And hopefully, if there's any chance, one can push for having the report and this thing by the 23rd. That means the information would be available to Rapporteur Group A before their next meeting.
Yep. And I just had an extra question. I just had an extra question for Alistair. When had John proposed his last group meeting?
I believe it's tomorrow. I think it's tomorrow my time is my
recollection. Right. Well, it is, I believe, because it's on the same day as the council call.
It's 8:30. Yeah.
Sorry. I've missed something, and that means if it's after the council call, it means 21:30 for Brussels
time. That's right.
Yeah, thank you, Glenn. Thank you.
Yeah, that's right. It's 8:30 my time, so
was there another call scheduled for the Group B, because Group B has only met twice and Group A has met three times?
No, when I talked to John about it, he assured me he was much more efficient than I was.
Well, we could believe that. Okay, so if there was not another meeting scheduled for the week of the 23rd, then that means that there's only Rapporteur Group B to meet on the 24th.
No, A.
I beg your pardon, A, but not B any time in that week.
I think it was also slightly left open that if they needed to do more, then they would talk about a meeting if they didn't get things resolved, but I think that they thought they would get things closed in one meeting.
Okay,
and
thank you.
And then to the rest of it online. But I think there was an openness to another meeting if it was necessary.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
And of course, if we have the invitational meeting, and what I propose with Liz for the Dan talking about the picket fence material is to basically just have an informative session, not specifically a task force meeting, but a meeting that is of A, of B, task force invited, the rest of the council invited, basically to listen to Dan on this particular issue, but it would be an informative general meeting and not a specific task force meeting, not so. And that's how it's proposed handling that.
Audrey, I had to step away for a minute. On the timing, on Monday, my only, and you already probably know this, is that there's an existing Who Is Task Force call in the morning that Milton and
yeah.
I, yeah.
Yeah, no, that was noticed, and that was something that we'd obviously have to miss. I mean, miss in scheduling.
The other problem that I have is I'm hosting a meeting from 3 to 4:30, so it's possible that if that's the time that I would have to miss the call.
Okay, well, I mean, we'll try to schedule it at a time when everyone can get it. It would definitely be something that was recorded, you know, and I think that's with all meetings here, we have to do our best to get them at a time when as many people can hit it as possible. And as I say, I'm trying to get this to happen before your next meeting so that you do have the information if at all possible.
And are we going to work on a backup date in case the 23rd isn't available?
Yeah, it'll be sometime that week.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Any other questions on missing material, on materials that are still needed, on extra information? So basically, there's just two items pending, and it's the picket fence issue where we're waiting on a report, and then there's information about traffic data that if Maryland can find, or anyone else can find some measures to where relevant data are, they can feed that to Liz to be included. But other than that, we're not waiting for any other information. And so nothing other than that would be gating our efforts.
I have a question about the use of the information, though, Aubrey, if I might.
Sure.
At present, there has been a significant contribution of information, but there hasn't been a specific discussion at the task force level of some of the reports, et cetera, nor a discussion at the task force level yet about, for instance, it is common in many markets to have a different treatment for a dominant provider than a non-dominant provider. That's certainly, you know, carried out in the literature we've seen so far. It is common to have price caps in many adjacent markets. Sometimes those price caps are sort of time limited. It's common to have rebid of different services, including even Department of Defense critical network services on a periodic basis. We haven't actually discussed any of that in the literature at the task force level.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I assume that the rapporteur groups will discuss what they need to. I think that any other discussions of the material will come up in relation to reviewing the recommendations. At this point, it just doesn't seem like there's a lot of the time in people's schedules to schedule, you know, discussions and debates on those issues. I think it's important to a particular rapporteur group will be absorbed by then, and I think it'll have to be brought to the task force as part of the discussion when we're going through the recommendations and deciding on what level of support we have for the particular recommendations that the rapporteur groups bring forward. I mean, if there is a specific issue that one is hungering to discuss, they should be discussing it in their rapporteur groups at this point. The email lists and the meetings of all the rapporteur groups are open to everybody on the task force. And there has been some discussion of some of those issues, I believe, in the, I don't know to the full extent that would be satisfactory to everyone, but there certainly have been discussions on some of those issues.
Yes, we, this is
I just don't see scheduling a task force meeting for the discussions now, but maybe somebody else does.
This is Milton. I just want to say that we have discussed some of the dominant provider issues in the non-commercial constituency, and I recall discussing them in some of the task force meetings. But one of the positions that we're coming around to is that this is a very big bundle of issues, and has either of these rapporteur groups raised the issue of separating out some of them and deferring them into a separate PDP? Particularly the ICANN budgetary process struck us as a struck out like a sore thumb, in the sense that so many interdependent issues are wrapped up with that, and the discussion of that has been very thin, and the people who really know how it works are typically the registries and registrars who have certain vested interests. Is it too late, or perhaps a good idea to talk about slicing out certain issues that are probably not resolvable within the framework of this PDP?
If I could, this is John. I just joined. If I could address that, Milton, because you're raising the ICANN budget issues, which comes under the rapporteur group that I'm working on. Essentially, what I think this discussion is somewhat premature. Why don't we see what the rapporteur groups recommend, and any input that you have on those issues would be incredibly helpful. But once the rapporteur groups report back with some recommendations, you know, that may be the best time to look to see if there is something that should be sliced off or not.
Yeah, that was pretty much going to be my recommendation on it, is when we've got the reports from both rapporteur groups, we can see if any of the issues are intractable. And if they're untractable at that point after they've been worked on, then, yeah, that would be a reasonable recommendation.
And obviously, it's Marilyn. If I might make a comment, Milton, one thing that occurred to me when you suggested that is also the question of, you know, for instance, the task force might recommend that there be a policy and might recommend the policy have certain characteristics, but might recommend a second stage to elaborate in more detail.
That makes sense, Marilyn. Something like saying we have discovered that, you know, budgetary process is interdependent with price caps issues. It's interdependent with consensus policies issues in the following ways. Any policy dealing with it has to take into account X, Y, Z, A, B, C, and we recommend that the second stage be implemented to do something like that.
Right. You know, for instance, I would see from my own individual perspective suggest that one part of a policy, and this would be fairly granular, would be that registries, that ICANN staff and registries really should not be individually negotiating circumstances that fund projects that are not part of the strategic plan, operational plan, budgeting process, because otherwise there's no oversight. But that's not a specific about what the amount of fee is. It would be more suggesting that we not have negotiations that are about funding, I don't know, the projects that aren't, you know, previously agreed to in a bottom-up way by the community.
Mm-hmm. So this is a discussion that will probably continue somewhat in Rapporteur Group B discussions, I would assume.
Well, if you're talking, it's John again, if you're talking about the specific ICANN budgetary issues, I think the implication is more on the TOR related to ICANN fees more than any other.
Right, ICANN fees.
Right. And John, our meeting is tomorrow at 3:30, is that correct, Eastern?
Correct, yep.
Thank you.
Okay, anything else? We're still in the talking about resources and materials that were needed. And the discussions that have to happen. We sort of covered all of that, or does anyone else have any other comments in that area? Okay, then the next thing is basically confirming the timeline. And this is the timeline that was sent out after she and I were basically reminded by Bruce that we had sort of left out the public comment period, which was just a small omission. So basically, we've had the Rapporteur Group A and B meetings scheduled for the 13th. They went off. 17th of October, there was a Group A meeting. Today we're having the task force meeting. This is the midway review, which is actually relatively encouraging. It seems to me that the work really is proceeding in the Rapporteur groups the way one would hope. There's a Rapporteur Group B meeting tomorrow, and that's currently the last one scheduled for B. The 24th of October, there's a Rapporteur A meeting. Something that's not on the schedule and that doesn't have a date yet is the meeting to discuss Dan's picket fence work when it's available. On the 27th of October, the Rapporteur groups were to send in the finalized, because collated text recommendations, and I'm not quite sure what exactly that means.
It means put the two of them together. But I don't mind if it comes in as two separate lots.
The collation.
I don't mind if it comes in as two separate lots because it's fine for me.
Okay, that's what I was thinking, that it would come in. Now, does that 27th of October seem like a reasonable date still for both Rapporteur groups to be able to deliver their output? From the beginning of meetings, it seems like there are no meetings after the 24th, leaving Rapporteur Group A 3 days to sort of pull together its recommendations. So the 27th of October stands for people? Okay.
Yes, I think, John, this is, I think that's, as of right now, a reasonable timeline, and we'll know more after tomorrow's meeting.
Okay. After tomorrow's meeting, one of the things that was sort of presuppose that if after tomorrow's meeting you feel you need another meeting, then you would try and schedule within this time frame?
Yep.
Okay, thank you. Marilyn, does that sound like a acceptable target still?
It has to be. I'm flying to Greece that day.
Okay, so that means you'll have it in on the 26th.
Or when you see me in Greece, I'll be in trouble.
Well, I don't get to Greece until the 28th night.
Yes. It's Group A's intention to try to complete its work. Actually, you know, we should only be doing edits and updates after the 24th.
Okay, thank you. So the 27th, basically by the 27th, both Rapporteur groups will get the materials in to Liz. She will collate them and then put them out to the task force. How long does it take you to get those out, Liz? Because we were discussing them on 2 November. So when would you get those out to to the group.
Sorry, Abby, I was on mute. Just ask the question again, please.
The question was that the two repertoire groups will have the materials to you by 27 October.
Otherwise, I send them my brother. Sorry. Yes, they will.
We've got a meeting scheduled for 2 November to discuss them.
No, the meeting on the I will distribute to the group a draft report on the 2nd, and that no meeting is scheduled.
Because the schedule here says 2 November Task Force meeting to discuss the recommendations.
Right, and Liz, we have...
Is that going to work for you guys that are in Greece, though? When do you,
no,
when
not
do you...
real well. It could have been possible if we did it late enough. But
if we do it late, like at 8 p.m., it'll work for me. And
yeah, then my dear husband divorces me, and I've had one of those before. So I'm happy to meet on the 2nd, but that assumes that everybody has their materials in by the 27th. I have already started drafting the task force report, which has all the meat around the bones that I'm expecting to, or the other way around, the bones that I'm expecting to get for the meat or whatever it is for the 2nd. If you stick to that timeline, it means that we meet on the 2nd, and then if there are additions and alterations, those additions and alterations will take place during the week of the 6th, and on the 14th I finalize that task force report.
Right, and so we're trying to stick to that at the moment.
Yep.
So if you've got the materials on the 27th, when do you distribute the materials to the task force?
On the 2nd.
So they've had time to read them before we discuss.
Well, actually, that's a bit of a problem, isn't it? Because that doesn't give everyone enough time to read it. If I get things by the 27th and produce the report, and then the meeting is on the 2nd, is that...
Well, Liz,
that doesn't give me enough time to write it.
But Liz, can I just ask a question? Because I thought you were working on everything else, and that the only part you were expecting to get from us was the recommendation section.
Yeah, that's kind of important, because that determines the rest of the way in which we do the rationale and the methodology for the way in which the group have reached the decisions that they have made for their draft recommendations.
But wait, this is just the rapporteur. This is before the... I mean, now we have to discuss with the task force.
I intend to draft a task force report in time for discussion on the 2nd of November with this task force group.
This is Ken Stubbs. Can you put me in the queue, please, Aubrey?
Hi, Ken. If anyone has any better ideas, then go ahead and say them now, because I'll amend my schedule, remembering that I have added in a 20-day public comment period if everything goes to plan, and that would assume that the council is willing to meet to discuss this report on the proposed date, which is the 21st of November. That's the date that I'm working towards, and that is Thanksgiving week.
All right, but it's early in Thanksgiving week.
Yeah,
I don't celebrate Thanksgiving, so it's not here nor there for me, but people have brought that to my attention.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that we should concern ourselves with that at the moment. We're still trying to figure out the earlier part. Ken, you wanted to be in the queue.
Yes, I've got two concerns. Number one, Liz, you're talking about drafting a task force report, and please correct me if I'm wrong. You're talking about drafting a task force report for review by the task force before the task force has had the opportunity to arrive at conclusions based on the recommendations that are being provided by the rapporteur group.
That's my problem, Ken.
I know, and I'm going to tell you right now that makes little sense at all, because this is supposed to be a deliberative process. How can you deliberate if you're arriving at conclusions before you've had a chance to deliberate? So
much of the
beginning, it's beginning, you know.
Just to reassure you, though, Ken, much of the task force report requires me to draft materials that reflect the process and show transparency and show representation and show discussion. And you're exactly right, though. We need, I think, practically, we need to amend that few dates in the middle of that before the 21st of November. And
I actually don't understand. I don't understand, because the recommendations would go in to this draft. This is a draft to force. So it's an early draft. It isn't the draft report. It is a draft of the draft report.
Yep.
And that they would be liberated in place within that document. So I don't see putting basically an extra step in there where we deliberate recommendations, then put them in a draft report, and then deliberate some more.
Well, the only concern I have there is sometimes our deliberations tend to take the form of recrafting a specific line or sentence, and I think from a practical standpoint, I will give you an example. Please correct me if I'm wrong. But many of the rapporteur groups have had as little as 2, 3, 4 members on these calls, which means that whether we like it or not, we're not getting a representative group deliberating in these rapporteur groups. So the product, the end product of the rapporteur group represents a product that's been arrived at with a minimal amount of participation. And please correct me if I'm wrong. All you need to do is send me out a list of each one of the rapporteur group meetings and how many people attended from each constituency. Maybe maybe it isn't that essential. I believe it is. So all I'm saying is if we're going to arrive at conclusions for recommendation to the task force needs an adequate time to deliberate. If not, then just give us all a bunch of rubber stamps, because I'm sorry, that's how I have to do it.
Basically, I think that no one is trying to give up your time to deliberate, though it would be good if it did participate in the repertoire group, and that's up to each of the constituencies to participate. No one's trying to give you a rubber stamp. No one's trying to say that you don't get to deliberate the recommendations. All I'm saying is that the recommendations can go into a draft, and then we do go through it line by line on the recommendations and edit the lines and change them from the draft.
Well,
it's,
you know,
just putting it together as opposed to keeping things in multiple parts.
Well, you know, I beg your pardon, Avery, but I can't agree with you totally. First of all, if you compare the two task forces, 05 and 06, you'll find that at the time that the two task forces were constituted, this week, for instance, we're ending up with close to 6 meetings. There was no indication at the time the task forces were constituted that we were going to be operating on this kind of a schedule. Maybe this schedule is convenient to people who are either being professionally compensated to participate and it just gets plugged into their schedule, or it represents billable time. But from a practical standpoint, most of the people who participate in this process are doing it in a what I will call somewhat of a volunteer capacity. And I don't think that it is a good idea to have a product that does not provide them with adequate opportunity to really work it through. And compare the timelines and compare the participation in the two task force when you're running 3, 4, 5 meetings a week.
Yes, I understand. However, there's 2 points I'd like to make. First, I totally understand the volunteer aspect of this, as I'm doing everything here, volunteer, participating in the rapporteur group on both sides. Second, agreed pretty much a month ago, or at least 3 weeks ago, that we were going to try and make up for the fact that we had not followed a reasonable timeline, that we had sickness problems, et cetera, that we were going to take this approach to try and finish in a reasonable time. Now, we already had certain difficulties with basically asking the board to pay attention to what we had to say and that we would work as quickly as possible to get them something. This task force basically agreed that over the next month, and we also agreed within the council that this task force should work at an accelerated rate to try and make up for the fact that we hadn't worked to schedule up till then, so that we could meet the requirement of giving information that satisfied our request for them to listen to us. So We're engaged in the process.
At this point in time, I'm very concerned about the fact that I don't think this specific task force represents as much of a participative process as I've seen in some of the other task forces. Now, I'm participating in a rapporteur group, and I've tried to attend as many of these calls as possible. But from a practical standpoint, I'm just pointing out the fact that taking the end product or what is defined as an end product by a limited number of people and saying, okay, fine now, we're going to write a report, and then we're going to get it through, and we'll give you 4.5 hours to review it, and, you know, I mean, if your people don't have the time, well, you know, I'm sorry, life just doesn't work that way. If you want to reschedule the meeting you're talking about on the 2nd at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, your time in Athens, I have a strong feeling that it may not work out quite as well for you as you'd like it to be. But, I mean, what you're doing is scheduling meetings like this for the convenience of a limited number of people that are really, you know, in many ways professionally dedicated to this specific task. And I'm just saying, I just want to make sure that this is truly participative. And I'm sorry, you can try to shame me into the fact that, well, this is what we all agreed on. I got news for you. If we all agreed on it, then why, and pardon the expression, why in the hell aren't we all participating in it? Because I can guarantee you that the last task force meeting I attended, the last rapporteur group I attended, less than or no more than half the constituencies were even participating.
Aubrey, can I get in the queue, please?
Yeah, that's all I'm going to say about it, because it's just,
thank you.
I would like to get into, this is Milton.
Okay, Marilyn, then Milton, anyone else want to be in this queue? Okay, Marilyn.
Let me see if I can take a problem-solving approach to our time frame. Aubrey, I support everything that you've said about the challenges that we face. We've tried to structure the rapporteur process in as open and inclusive a fashion as possible, taking into account that people are very busy. I decided to ask ICANN to fund the transcript so that people could keep up with it. And I know that Jeff Eckhouse and Mike Roberts, who are on the rapporteur group, have been following the work. And I've spoken with Mike a couple of times. So although I can't say that everybody is able to participate all the time, I think everybody has the same challenges. And I pretty much think that everybody is a volunteer in the amount of work that they do for ICANN. So on the problem-solving side, the thing that I noticed, I just took a quick look back at PDP-05, and I noticed that really, at a particular point in time, we peeled out, pardon me for using that term, and Liz may have to correct me on what I'm calling it, but we peeled out the section on recommendations, and we've continued to dialogue around the section on recommendations, but we haven't re-edited the history and the rest of the work that Liz had already begun putting together. And I think that Aubrey's sort of proposing something of a similar approach to us here, that if Liz is completing a lot of the surround work, which is documenting, including the gathering of the expert information, all of that stuff, which is very time-consuming, we ought to be able to have a semi-modular approach to the recommendations and have sufficient time to review those and discuss them. And, Ken, to your point, I support our having a task force meeting or two if it's necessary to debate the recommendations at the task force level. I am prepared to do it at 1 o'clock in Athens on the closing day if that's when it needs to be done. I'm sure they can close the IGF without me. But I think really everyone's trying to work in the spirit of cooperation here.
Milton, thank you. Milton?
Yeah, again, not trying to slow things down or cause trouble, but I just want to report on sort of what happened to me in this process, and it kind of reinforces what Ken was saying. I basically had to sort of duck out, not really pay close attention to this task force for a period of about 10 days because I was in transition from Paris back to the U.S. and there was an academic conference in the middle. And during that 10 days is the period in which you formed this rapporteur group. And frankly, I just got completely lost in the process, in the shuffle. I just had no idea what these groups were, how they were divided, and I just didn't have time to back up and read the flurry of emails. And Maryland explicitly invited me to be part of one. That was nice, but I just honestly, with all the stuff going on at the forum and so on, I had no idea what she was talking about. And I was trying to get her to attend the meeting that I was trying to put together related to the forum. So it's a tough situation for us all now, particularly those of us who are supposed to be doing other things. And I think that when you change your basic structure in the middle of the stream, sometimes there's a good reason, a good motive for it, but you have to basically write off a month in which people catch up with what the heck you did and how they fit into that process, and it's tough. It really is. I can totally sympathize with Ken's frustration.
The reason we changed was because we were trying to make up for time that we had lost.
I know.
A problem. But NCUC has been, I mean, basically others from NCUC came to participate in this, so hopefully they were being represented. Anyone else want to speak to this point?
Not really. Okay. Can I join the queue? Tell us, sir.
Please, go ahead.
Okay, I guess... I can understand what Ken and Milton are saying. Certainly, the timing of the task force and rapporteur groups for me has been rather challenging, and certainly in my case, most of the meetings have either been in the middle of the night or very early in the morning. So it just basically just lengthens my day. I think it seems to me that there has been certainly an open opportunity for people to participate, and when the task force last met, and in fact I think in the previous meeting, there was a general agreement that it was important to expedite this process and to do as much as we could prior to the Sao Paulo meeting. And I would be concerned if we are now putting brakes on the process and putting basically maximum possible achievement of what we're seeking to achieve in this task force in jeopardy prior to the Sao Paulo meeting. Now, I think some of the timeframes are indeed challenging, but I understood that there was a feeling in the task force that it was important to expedite this process. We do have to fit in a public comment period, and so I think we have to, if possible, to make allowances for that in order that we have as complete a product as possible by the time of Sao Paulo. So, certainly, Avery, I would support the schedule that and the process that you're putting forward.
Avery, just a real quick response to Alistair, and that is I don't believe I'm really pleased with your characterization of adequate time for deliberation to being breaks in the process. I thought that those were that was more or less, to some extent, the definition of a process like this, that it was supposed to be deliberative. But I guess if we're going to use your definition, then that may very well be considered to be putting brakes on the process.
Ken, can I make a comment?
Anyone else? I'd like to build a sort of last comment list on this particular discussion before it gets difficult.
Okay.
And anyone else want to speak to Marilyn? And then I'll close this and we'll go back to talking about the schedule.
Copy, Sophia.
Excuse me, Sophia. Okay, thank you. Yeah. Anyone else want to be in this queue? Okay, Marilyn.
I'm just going to comment on everyone's commitment and applaud everyone's commitment, but notice that we can't always manage externalities. And all of us in our day jobs and in our volunteer jobs are often encounter situations where we need to flexibly adapt the schedule, and maybe we need to do two calls a week in 1 week. And we've done that. That doesn't mean we're not being deliberative, and I think we need to be careful not to think that because people are working excessively hard, that means they're not being thoughtful. So can I appreciate your reminding us that this is supposed to be a deliberative process, but I urge you to support the idea that that means we need to deliberate more frequently during this period of time.
Sophia, thank you. Sophia?
Thanks, Avi. I just want to say my two cents on this, and I think I can appreciate what Ken and Milton has mentioned in terms of the schedule, and Milton particularly, I understand his voice because I was in his same condition as him in the last few. He said 10 days, but mine maybe almost a month or so. I was sort of out of touch, and I never got a chance to catch up until the last perhaps 15 days on this. And then as I have followed up with Avery, yourself, offline, you know, I'm just wondering in what capacity I could contribute, and it came to a point that the whole schedule is supposed to be needed by the end of this month, and I wasn't sure if I should be, you know, if I would be distracting it or contributing to it if I joined in any late. I think that's the reason I asked Avery as well, offline, you know, if it makes sense for me or as a NOMCOM, representing NOMCOM or a personal capacity to just join in. So if there's anything, you know, I could do in my capacity, I'm sure everybody has worked hard so far. I would love to join either of the group. The pricing probably is an area where I could probably quickly contribute, and if I'm not a distraction into it, I just want to voice my opinion now and say, and move forward.
Hey, Sophia, if they're not really nice to you in Group B, you can come over to Group A.
Yeah. we'll be very nice, Sophia, and we'd love to have you join the group. There's a call tomorrow at 3:30 Eastern.
Eastern, okay.
Pricing will definitely be a topic of conversation. Again, this is John, sorry. Avery, if I could just make one comment, if you don't mind. I think that everyone's in agreement that the task force needs sufficient time to deliberate. The first step is to get the recommendations in, and then if the time frame that we're discussing is insufficient at that point, and we think we need more time to deliberate, then let's talk about it then. But again, it's somewhat premature to say that we need more time now until we get the recommendations. For all we know, everyone will just love the recommendations on site, and it'll be fine. You know, the more realistic option is that we build in sufficient time. We think it's sufficient time in the timeline, and then extend it if necessary. Then at the end.
Okay. Thanks. I tend to agree. Going back to the schedule, I have a question, Liz, and maybe I was misunderstood. What we had in the schedule was 2 November task force meeting to discuss draft recommendations. Then it said 7 November release draft task force to task force members. So perhaps the 2nd of November meeting was not the draft task force, the draft, but it was just the collated recommendations of the two groups. Is that?
Oh, right. Right.
So in other words, if I look at it, we had a meeting on 2nd, which was a task force meeting, to take the two sets of recommendations and start talking them through in this group, start doing the deliberations. Hopefully, even from the 27th, they could be published on the mailing list and people could start deliberating online. We had a meeting on the 2nd to deliberate. Then on the 7th was when the draft task force report was going to come out to the task force. We could continue deliberating. And then the 14th of November was when we were meeting to decide, did we have a task force report that we were ready to send. So from the end of the repertoire group doing their work on the 27th until the attempt to complete it, there was a full 2 weeks deliberation. Now, it may end up not being sufficient, and we may have to plan for more. We can certainly tell once we're in the middle whether we need more deliberations, whether we can actually discuss things online, and so on. But does really this 2 weeks look like too short a time for us to be able to get in some good deliberations?
It's more than 2 weeks, isn't it, overall?
From the 27th to the 14th, yeah, two business weeks.
I was misreading something. Thank you. So Aubrey, just to reinforce that, so on the 27th, it's final text from the two rapporteur groups, but it hasn't been pasted together appropriately. But your point is, it's public.
It should be public with a task force.
Right.
And, I mean, collating the two repertoire groups into one recommendation, TOR 1, TOR 2, TOR 3, you know, is not a huge task. And if Bruce doesn't have time for it, perhaps, you know, the repertoire group leaders or I or someone can do that particular collation and put a list out on the mailing list of here are the, you know, recommendations by TOR.
Uh-huh.
We need to start discussing.
Uh-huh.
And then we have a meeting on the 2nd to start our, to have our first meeting on deliberation. We have a second meeting on the 7th where those recommendations have been folded into a draft of the report. We continue deliberating, and we see where we're at.
And Aubrey, it's Marilyn. We have in our face-to-face meetings sometimes held meetings of 4 and 5 hours. If we had to, we might be able to extend one of our call meetings to 3 hours.
I think as we get there and we see what we have to do, we can figure out.
Yeah.
I mean, I have no personal objection, but I don't know how others will feel, and we could find out at the time.
Yeah.
So, should we... Is there I hate to ask this, but is there vehement objection to try to finish this on this path to come to agreement by the 14th of November? I need to know because I'm going to be writing up where we're at on this, and if any constituency is really adamantly against us trying to finish by the 14th, I want to be able to say that so that we spare ourselves trying to do something that, you know, is impossible. So is there any vehement, absolute objection to trying to hit the 14th of November with 2 solid weeks of deliberation?
Aubrey?
Yes.
Aubrey?
This is it. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Ken Stubbs. I'm somewhat, I would say, taken back by your description of hating to hear vehement objection. I'm not vehemently objecting. I just want to make absolutely certain that the concerns that were expressed by the various parties here regarding this timeline are clearly elaborated in not only the minutes, but if you're going to bring any document forward, I would expect to see those concerns elaborated fairly and in a balanced manner in the summary of this meeting.
Well, I'll
that's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to get drawn into this vehement bit, but There were concerns expressed by various parties, and I want to make sure that they're properly...
As I said, I will do it as neutrally as I can, and if I get it wrong, please tell me. Okay. So then, assuming we were able to come to agreement by the 14th, the schedule would have us sending this basically to the DNSO Council and proposing a call to discuss it and agree to steps it would take before the 20-day public comment period. Okay.
Aubrey, I just had one date to check with people. So the council meets on the 21st, and then we are anticipating, I believe, Liz, if I'm right about this, we're anticipating public comment period to be open into December. And I could you just refresh us on that date? Maybe we lost Liz.
Liz? Are you on mute?
Madam, is that a question for me?
Yeah. Could you just refresh our memory again? You gave us a date of mid-December, I think, for when the 20-day comment period ended.
Yeah, I don't have it in front of me. I'm not online at the moment. Just remember to everybody, the 21st of November is not a hard date. It's a proposed council date, and it hasn't been agreed by the council. But if we made that date, which is release of the final report, it would be a 20-day comment period starting from then, and if anyone has their calendar in front of them, it takes us well beyond the end of the South Power meetings.
All right, but it puts us in a good position to have something to talk about in Sao Paulo since we're open for public comment if we meet the date.
That's a better position to be in than having nothing.
Thanks.
Yes, indeed.
Okay. Any more comments on the dates and the schedule?
Aubrey, this is John. Could I raise a question?
Sure.
Hello?
Yes, please.
I know many of us are trying to schedule our plans for Sao Paulo. So the question I have is, are we planning to meet as a group down there, and if so, when?
John, I can probably answer that if you like.
That'd be
great. I had planned on, if the group completes the work in time for that, to have a public session on the work of the group, not dissimilar to the ones we've had in different meetings like in Wellington and in Marrakesh, to progress the work of the group and to be involving other supporting organizations and advisory groups.
And would that occur during the time frame of the formal meeting itself? So not
yeah, absolutely.
There's
yeah.
No reason that we need to be there early before.
John, I could not guarantee that absolutely at the moment, but that would be my intention because, and I only say that because I am fully committed on other meetings with respect to the new TLDs process and other staff commitments that I have to make that would make that quite difficult for me to do it.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, basically, it looked like the intention of the schedule all along had been essentially to be done by then. So there had been no plans. Of course, it's quite possible that we won't be done by then. But if we're not done by then we're going into a longer-term, issue and scheduling a one-day meeting or a half-day meeting before the beginning of that meeting would probably not help us at that point.
But I have a point of clarification to ask. The task force is actually, the task force has now turned its work over to the council. If we're right, am I not right?
We've either turned it over to the council or we've blown our schedule one way or another.
Okay.
I didn't see us having a meeting there.
Right now, I would assume that this, like other topics, could be the subject of the public forum of the council, which is what we've done in the past when we've been open for public comment. But maybe we could take that topic up on the list about and after the council call tomorrow.
Okay. vote. Basically, the schedule is pretty much, for the moment, standing as I'll write that up in the note I send. Okay, basically, in terms of reporting, I spoke to Bruce. What he recommended is I send an email to the council describing the status. So basically, I'm going to essentially report on the status as fairly neutrally as I am capable of doing. We'll take some time to try and do that neutrally and fairly. As I say, if I do wrong, please feel free to fire me. Basically, if there are issues with what's been written there, then it will be covered in the section of the meeting called End of Business. And it would be an item under that. That's what he wanted to do, as opposed to putting it on the agenda as a specific item. And in this report, basically, I intend to talk about the two rapporteurs, what their statements are, what progress they've reported, what their goals are, and then talk about the schedule and the concerns with the schedule and the issue of expert materials and their delivery. And this is really the points I intend to cover. Pretty much what we covered in this meeting, a little shorter than the meeting, but any questions on that? Okay. On any other business, I haven't had formal confirmation of it, but I understand that our wheelchair may not be able to continue. And I'm not sure, and so that leaves the interim chair sort of continuing to operate, but this could be a good opportunity for the group to decide that the interim chair is unsatisfactory and to replace the interim chair with a proper chair. So I'd like to leave that open. The group could discuss that perhaps now, perhaps at the next meeting, if there is the need to have a permanent wheelchair for this group. I am not available for it. I will continue as interim chair for the immediate future, but if we need to elect a wheelchair, I'm definitely not available.
I would propose that we continue with the interim chair at the immediate time while we advance the work, and perhaps we can take this topic up when we see when the work is going to be concluding, and if it's concluding quickly, my proposal would be to ask you to continue as to chair it to its conclusion. If it looks like it's going to be a much extended process, perhaps we could reopen the discussion.
That's basically what I'm saying. If we're going to try and meet this schedule, then I'm certainly willing to stick with it until Sao Paulo. But if we go beyond that into an extended, you know, working process, then it's just not something I can do.
Okay. I'm satisfied with that, and that sounds great to me. So that would just be my personal view.
On that?
That certainly, as Alistair here, that would certainly sound great to me too.
Okay. Any other business comments, issues you want to bring up? In which case, I thank you all for calling in. I encourage everyone to participate in the remaining repertoire group, to be reading the materials, to be discussing the issues with their constituencies, to get the deliberative process going as soon as possible so that no one has to bring out their rubber stamp. And I thank you all, and I'll talk to you next meeting.
Thanks, Avery.
Okay.
Thanks, Avery.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.